Welcome to the People Powered Business Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Lee Billett. If you employ staff, engage contractors, or rely on people to help deliver your products or services, you're in the right place. Join us each week as we dive in to uncover what makes people tick, learn the best strategies and tactics to build an amazing team, and most importantly, discover how you, the business owner or leader, can unleash the power of your people to help create the successful business you deserve. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to episode number 13 of the People Powered Business Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope whatever you're up to, you're having an amazing day. Hi, my name's Christy Lee and I'm the host of the People Powered Business Podcast. And I do really appreciate the time you're spending with me each week here at the podcast. If this is the first episode you're listening into, welcome. It's great to have you here and I hope you enjoy the content. And if you're a returning listener, thank you for joining us again. It is really, really appreciated. In today's episode of the podcast, we're going to be unpacking the somewhat complex modern award system here in Australia. So we're going to look at the awards that you need to be thinking about using in your business, how they interact and apply with your employees, and the key parts of the awards that you really need to be aware of as an employer to ensure that you're being compliant with the awards, because we've seen, of course, recently a lot of issues coming through the Fair Work Commission in and around back payments and employers failing to comply with their award obligations. And it can be easy to see how that would happen because it's such a complex part of the industrial relations framework. So today I'm going to really simply unpack some of the key elements for you and give you a four-step framework to help you uncover which awards are going to apply in your business and to each of your employees and how that's all going to work. So let's jump in and talk about modern awards. Okay, so firstly, I think I might start with explaining exactly what are modern awards. Now, the modern award system came into play in line with the Fair Work Act, which was 2009-2010. And modern awards, put simply, are legal documents that outline the minimum pay rates and conditions of employment for any employees and employers covered by those awards. So there are over 100 industry-related and occupation-related modern awards, and they cover almost all employees that work in Australia. The modern awards actually replaced the old state-based awards. So the whole intention was to create a really simplified process so that employees all around the country would be covered by the same award if they were working in the same type of organisation or in the same type of positions. So the intention was always about simplifying things. However, it's certainly the case that having a national system is far better than having various state-based systems because we have so many businesses that operate across multiple states and territories. But the award system itself isn't entirely simple. It's simpler, but it's not entirely simple. It slides in under the Fair Work Act. So the Fair Work Act underpins all of the modern awards. And as I mentioned, almost all employees are covered by one of these modern awards. There's very, very few exemptions. Certainly public sector employees are quite often not covered. But aside from that, if your employment is covered or your industry is covered by an award and there is a classification in an award that covers your employees, they are almost certainly covered. There are a handful of occupations not covered, and these were occupations that were previously not covered under the old state-based award systems. So it includes occupations such as, in some cases, accountants, but not all cases, public relations professionals, in many cases, human resources professionals, but again, not always. So it is generally a small group of employees who are not covered, and it's those that there just simply isn't an award that covers them specifically. So almost all employees you will find will be covered by a modern award. Now, one of the key areas that I see employers really get stuck on and struggle with, not out of any malintention, but just out of the pure confusion of it all, is which award actually applies, because it's not a simple case of choosing an award and all your employees come under that particular award. In fact, you may have multiple awards operating within your business. So from a payroll perspective, I totally get that that is a nightmare, but it is genuinely the case. And the only way to really get around that is to have an enterprise agreement registered with the commission, which might cover all of your employees. but ultimately they need to be based off award conditions as well in order to meet the Better Off Overall test. So they're a process that are a little bit complex to go through, but, you know, many large organisations absolutely go through this, and certainly medium-sized organisations that have the issue of 3, 4, and 5 awards operating within their particular environment, an enterprise agreement that covers all of those employees is a far simpler process. So if you've got an enterprise agreement in your business, then awards won't apply to you. But for everyone else, the award system is absolutely where you would start. So how do you know which awards apply to your business? To help decide that, what I have for you is basically a 4-step process to walk you through where to start when determining which award applies and how you walk through the process to ensure that you've got the right award for each employee within your business. And the first step in that process is to look at industry. So look at what industry your business operates in and see if there is an award that covers that industry. And that's your very first starting point. So you're not looking at the job first, so the particular employee's role. You're looking at your industry at a higher level. So you're zooming up and looking at your industry that you work in. And is there an award that covers that? So for an example, the childcare industry. So if you own a childcare centre, there is an award that covers the childcare industry. If you manufacture items, there is a manufacturing and associated industries and occupations award. If you operate a business that does training services for post-secondary education, there is an educational services post-secondary award. So you can see those awards very specifically cover those types of businesses. So you own a childcare centre, you look at the children's services award. You own a manufacturing business, you would start by looking at the manufacturing and associated industries and occupations award. But that doesn't mean that every employee, or in fact any employee, will be covered by that award. That's just your starting point. So step one is to look at the industry and see if there's an award that broadly covers that industry. Now, if you've got that, that's your starting point. The next step, so step two, is to read the clause in that award, and it's usually clause 4 in all of the awards, and it's called coverage. So it's the coverage clause, and it explains what type of businesses are in fact covered by that award. If you start there, you'll straight away get a clear idea whether you're looking at the right award. So the coverage clause in the award will explain the details of what employers are covered by that award. So it will say things to the effect of, this award covers employers throughout Australia and their employees who meet these criteria. And it may be things like work in the process of manufacturing, and it will list, you know, maybe 10 or 20 types of manufacturing. Or it may be employers who have employees who work in the space of caring for children in childcare centres, home daycare centres, and it will list the different types of businesses that may be covered under that. It may say employers and their employees who work for registered training organisations who provide training for post-secondary education. So very specifically, those coverage clauses will tell you whether you're in the right place and your business is in fact covered by those industry awards. Now, some of those coverage clauses are very long, and the Manufacturing and Associated Industries Award is absolutely an example of that. It's a very lengthy coverage clause, but it does provide a lot of detail, which in itself is excellent. Some of them are much more brief because it's a much more simple process to explain the type of businesses covered by that award. But if you look at the coverage clause, which is usually clause 4 in these awards, that should straight away tell you whether you're looking at the right award. So step one, we look at industry. Once we've got the industry award, we go to clause 4 as step 2 and look at the coverage clause and read to see whether we're in the right place and whether that in fact does cover us. Now, assuming that's the case, the next step, which is step 3, is to scroll right down to the end of the award and you want to look at classifications. Now, the classifications are the areas that describe the types of employees and the types of positions that are in fact covered by this award. Now, this is where it can get a little bit tricky because this is where you may find that, yes, you've got an industry award, yes, your business is covered by it, but there isn't a classification that suits each and every employee within your business. Now, the classifications are typically a schedule attached to the back or the bottom of the award. So if you're looking at it online, you'd be going scrolling right down to the bottom to the clause or the schedule, I should say, that is referred to as classifications. Now, the classifications will walk you through the various classifications that an employee may be employed under. So, for example, in the Clerks Private Sector Award, we'll have level 1, level 1.2, level 2, and so on and so forth. And it will give you details for the types of duties and responsibilities at each of those classifications. So we'll explain to you that someone at level 1 works under direct supervision, might do some basic data entry or answering telephone calls, but has limited judgment and is able to exercise limited discretion in their work. Likewise, in the manufacturing award, it may explain that at a certain level, this is an entry-level employee that's receiving training and has a limited skill base at this particular level. In other awards, it may explain that at a certain level, this employee is a qualified professional. So they've got their trade qualification or they've got their degree and they therefore move to that particular level. It will also explain particular types of duties that the employee may be responsible for doing. It may explain that a qualified printer is actually at a certain level. A qualified graphic designer, for example, is at a certain level. So it will tell you about where they sit within the classification structure. So as you're reading through the classification structure, what you'll see is that some employees are clearly covered and you can easily see where they'll slot in. Others don't fit in at all. So if you're reading something like the manufacturing award and you have administration employees, you'll very quickly notice that they don't fit into those classifications. So your factory staff might very well fit easily into those classifications, but your office staff don't fit in at all. And what do you do then? Then we move to step 4, which is to look at what the alternative awards are. So if not all of your employees' positions fit into the main industry award that you are covered by, you need to look at what other awards are out there that might cover those particular employees. So the Clerk's Private Sector Award is a classic example here, and we will often see many, many businesses who have employees covered by one industry award and then subsequent awards, including the Clerk's Private Sector Award, because that covers pretty much all administration staff who don't fall under an industry award. Now, some industry awards absolutely have administration as part of their classification, but not all. So you're starting at the industry award and you're only looking at alternative awards if there isn't a classification that covers that particular position. And it's very, very likely that your business will have three is usually about right, different awards operating. So I'll give you another example. If you're a business that works in the sign manufacturing industry, you might be covered by the Manufacturing and Associated Industries Award, or you might be covered by the Joinery and Building Trades Award, depending on the type of signage that you do. It will also depend as to whether you're staff are trade qualified or not as to which award. And then you might also have sales reps that are out on the road performing sales. These staff might be covered under the Commercial Sales Award. And then you've got your office staff who are answering the phones, processing orders, doing some accounts clerk type duties. They would all be covered by the Clerk's Private Sector Award. And then you've got a graphic designer who's responsible for doing all the print work. And they might be covered by the Graphic Industry Award. So there's many awards that would apply to those businesses where the operations are a little bit more complex and involved. So you can see how it can be really confusing for employers to figure out where to go. So let me walk you through those 4 steps again. You start with what industry you're working in, and you look for an award that is specific to that industry. Once you've found that, you look for the coverage clause in that award, which is typically clause number 4, I should say. So clause 4, coverage, you read that to ensure that this award doesn't in fact cover your type of business. Once you've got that sorted, you move down and look at classifications, which are included in each award as a schedule at the back or at the bottom of each of the awards. And you read the classification and structure definitions to see where each role and position within your business fits. If they fit, fantastic. That is the award that they are covered by. And you found the right award and the right classification. If, however, there are positions and employees who do not fit within those specific classifications, then you need to look at alternative awards to see whether there is an award which covers those particular positions and duties. Now, it would be very rare that you'd get to the end of this and you'd have an employee who was not award covered if you started out with an industry award that was particularly relevant. So in very few cases, you would find that you would have some award-free employees as well, but it is entirely possible, particularly for specialised roles, although that doesn't necessarily make them exempt from the award system, but sometimes we find those positions are in fact exempt. Also, in some particular awards, there will be a statement to say that certain positions are not covered by that award due to their seniority and the nature of their position. So it is entirely possible for the award to stipulate that it covers your industry and it would cover most of your employees, but it does not in fact cover particular types of employees and senior employees. So it can be quite complex to work through those processes, but I want to explain to you as well why it's important to understand the modern award system and how it applies within your business. And the main reason around this is compliance with your requirements under the Fair Work Act. So as employers, we have an obligation to comply with the Act, and the Act requires us to comply with the modern award system. So even if you think, I'm just going to consider them award-free because this is all too hard, and you know that you pay them well above the minimum award conditions anyway, so you think that you just can ignore that and consider them award-free. The problem you have there is if they are technically covered by an award and they make some kind of claim around back payment, or someone, you know, third party puts in some form of complaint against you and it's investigated and determined that you were in fact covered by an award, you could be liable for back payment of the conditions of the award that you haven't complied with. So awards have all these weird and wonderful loadings and penalty entitlements and all different bits and pieces. And of course, to keep it complicated, each award has all different penalties and allowances. So there are things like annual leave loading in most modern awards, and that states that employees get an extra 17.5% pay when they're on annual leave. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I do not want to pay my employees extra when they're not actually at work. I'm very happy for them to take their leave, but I don't want to be paying them extra for that entitlement. So that would be something that I would want to avoid doing, and your modern award requires that. So if you're not doing that, you could be up for back payment for that. Other entitlements include things like penalty rates for different types of hours, overtime rates, there might be shift allowances, there might be first aid allowances and tool allowances, there are allowances for working at heights or working in hot conditions. Different awards just have all different allowances, and that's why it's important that you're really across this, because the last thing you want is a back payment claim when you are probably paying far above the award as it is. So are there ways that you can get, I guess, around this issue in a really simple way? And the short answer is yes, there is. So what you need to do is, if you know that you're covered by an award, but you don't want to have to worry about all the complexities and you are paying your employees far beyond or certainly beyond the award conditions, you can put in place different arrangements to create a flexible working arrangement. Now, these have to be at mutual agreement between yourself and the employee, but they're very easy to put together. They can be known as individual flexibility agreements, although many modern awards are being changed to include annualized wage provisions, and they require an annualized wage agreement, which is a different document again. But the core of these documents is all about demonstrating that the employee is better off overall under your loaded flat rate, hourly rate, or under your annualized salary that you've offered them than they would be if they were receiving the award minimum wages and any allowances or entitlements that they might ordinarily be entitled to. So there are absolutely ways to create a much more simpler process for you as the employer, but you must understand the modern award system first so that you can create those documents accurately and effectively in order to protect your business. So it's doable, but it's sometimes a little bit complex. So to recap all of that, the modern award system is the legal framework that we all operate under when we're employing staff here in Australia. It's underpinned by the Fair Work Act, and there are over 100 modern awards that cover all different industries and occupations. As an employer, you have an obligation to comply with these award conditions, and where you want to put in place something to counteract these and meet a better off overall test, it's absolutely achievable, but just make sure you get the right advice and you put in place the right documentation to protect you as the business owner and to protect your business. To look at which awards apply to your employees, you want to first look at which industry you're working in and find out whether there's an industry award for that. You want to look at the coverage clause, clause 4. You then want to look through the classifications and then look at alternative awards to figure out where your employees sit. Now, some of the alternative awards you may need to look at might include the Clerk's Private Sector Award, the Commercial Sales Award, it might include the Miscellaneous Award or the Professional Employees Award. There are a lot to look through, but if you head to the Fair Work website, website, which is fairwork.gov.au, you can look through the entire list of modern awards right there with all of the details for you. They also have an award finder tool on that website. Now, if you know your industry, that might be helpful for you in terms of narrowing that down. But for some industries, that tool is a little bit too specific to work particularly effectively. But that is a tool that is available over on fairwork.gov.au. Now, I totally appreciate how technical and complicated some of this can be, and I've tried to make it a really short, sharp episode today to get really to the point of how you can work through that modern award decision making. And to assist you with that, I've created a free template for you, which you can download to walk through those four steps that I've explained today to figuring out which awards apply to your particular organisation. And you can get your free copy of that over at peoplepoweredbusiness.com. Episode 13. So head over to peoplepoweredbusiness.com and you can absolutely get your free copy of that step-by-step guide by clicking on episode number 13. Now, I guess the thing I'd love you to remember here as well is this is a technical area. So just like you go to your accountant for tax advice, if you feel like you need expert advice on this, absolutely reach out to a professional. And that would be a HR consultant specifically or an employment lawyer, someone that specializes in industrial relations law, because they are the only two groups of individuals that have the in-depth knowledge of this particular legislation. So just like you go to your accountant for tax advice, just like you go to your mechanic to fix your car, if you don't know how to do it yourself, this is one of those areas that you don't have to wear all the hats for. You can absolutely reach out and get advice from an expert to help you on this. So I hope that's been useful for you and sort of simplified the somewhat complex world of modern awards. Now, if you've enjoyed this episode or any others, please don't forget to subscribe on your favourite podcast listening app. And if you found this information useful and you think other business owners around you may find this useful, I'd love it if you shared it with them and hopefully helped them out by doing that as well. That's all we have for this episode of the podcast. Now, if you'd love to connect with us, please head over to Facebook, to our People Powered Business Facebook page. We'd love to connect with you over there. And if you have questions or topics that you would love covered on a future podcast, that is absolutely the place to do that. And I would love to hear you over there and get some information about what you would love covered in an upcoming episode of the podcast. In next week's episode of the People Powered Business podcast, we're going to be talking generations in the workplace. And I love this topic. I love really understanding the ways different generations think and how they act and how they work and their preferences in working and how they can work together in the workplace, because there's such a broad differential in the generations in the workplace now. And they work so differently. And I think they can really complement each other and we can all learn from the different generations we work with. So it's one of my favorite topics to talk about. So that'll be on next week's episode of the podcast, Generations in the Workplace. So thanks again for joining me here today. I hope you found this information useful, and I look forward to speaking to you again in next week's episode of the People Powered Business Podcast.